Glitch Free Gaming.
Hey everyone, it's another episode of Glitch Free Gaming. It's episode number 147. Hooray!
Hooray.
No Paul this week.
No Paul. It was nice to have him on though.
It was. It was very good.
We need to have some guests on though.
Yeah, I know. We need to get back into that habit of getting the guests back on. But we do that. We normally just have us for a while and then we go, we need to get the guests on, and then we have guests for like 6 weeks in a run, and then we're creatures of habit.
And someday, hopefully, Paul will be a regular again.
Yay!
I mean, as regular as Paul can be.
Yes, yeah, yeah. We mean regular as being on the show, not regular as in, like, going to the toilet.
Sure.
Well, we hope he's regular as well, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. You would hope so. Yeah, I think we should stop this conversation before it goes any further.
100%.
Well, in that case, let us do what we always do and just talk rubbish and nonsense about games. So why don't you start us off? What have you been playing this week?
Not a massive amount, as it turns out. Or not a massive amount of new things, kind of. A lot of stuff I talked about last week.
Right, okay.
I got a bit further into Uncharted 4.
Ah, right.
I'm liking that game. It's... The further you get in that game, the more and more impressive the visuals are.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just... You know, those games are always, like, fantastic looking.
I was going to say, they're always kind of feast for the eyes.
Yeah, yeah, they are that kind of... I don't know. They're the kind of game that make you want to travel more. Does that make sense?
yeah, I'm cool with that.
You're like, oh, they're, you know, filled with all these crazy, beautiful things, and... Yeah. The game itself is an Uncharted game.
Right.
It's probably the best Uncharted game. It's got some really good moments, some really good characters. But it's still very much like you walk into an area and you're like, yeah, this looks like where you'd have a shootout. Enemies are definitely going to show up here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's like a kind of, you know, puzzly room further ahead. I'm going to go and solve a puzzle and come back out and there'll be bad guys waiting for me. And every time there's bad guys waiting for you. It's like very formulaic and follows, you know, what you'd expect from an Uncharted game.
They always kind of had that, whereas the Tomb Raider games I always felt tried to play with that. They were aware that they could become formulaic and try to stay away from it. But the Uncharted games sort of embraced it.
Yeah.
You know, they've
very much just been like, look, it's formulaic, but the formula is really good. So.
Yeah.
You know, if it works, it works.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, because Tomb Raider was always took its inspiration from Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Then Uncharted it's come full circle because it's now, it's basing itself on Tomb Raider and sort of Indiana Jones, and I think it does feel kind of more that way. It embraces the pulpness of it and the...
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that...
This one tries to tell a bit more of a story.
Right.
And successfully, I think, at least.
All right, okay.
Like, it feels very much like they've learned from, you know, The Last of Us and, you know, their other... Well, I guess that was kind of the only other thing Naughty Dog's done since Uncharted 3. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit darker, not majorly so, but, you know, a little bit darker. It kind of goes into a bit more of how, or why Nathan Drake is who he is, and why he cares about his brother so much, who's just shown up out of the blue. And those characters are, like, really well developed, like, shockingly so for an Uncharted game. Because in the previous games, Nathan Drake was just kind of a wisecracking guy who, you know, ran around murdering hundreds of people. And,
yeah,
you know, that was kind of it. That was kind of the levels. You know, he had this kind of will-they-won't-they relationship with Elena, which has kind of evolved into they are a married couple and he is lying to her about doing something, but actually he's off adventuring again.
Oh, right, okay.
But that stuff's all handled really well. And I'm genuinely surprised by that stuff. It's the bit that the game is not doing, you know, the bit that's not living up to the story almost for me is the gameplay bit, where I am still really enjoying the combat or less the combat, but more the climbing and some of the puzzles and stuff like that. But when you get to the combat, it feels like it slows everything down. Like, the shooting itself is way better than it's ever been. Like, it's first time I'd probably say it's a solid shooter in its own right.
Right, yeah.
But there's something about going from, okay, I'm, you know, climbing up the side of this mountain and there's this set piece where all this stuff's falling down and I'm jumping between it, to, okay, I'm taking cover, shooting a bunch of guys. You know, it just feels like it slows that momentum all the way down and it just kind of stops whenever there's a shootout. But it's kind of needed to happen because it's, you know, a shooter. Which is a weird thing to think of. The idea that the shooting, even though the controls are better than they've ever been, like the experience of shooting a bunch of guys and having these shootouts is kind of the least interesting part of the shooter.
Right, okay.
The best parts are definitely the climbing around and the different story stuff, and the puzzles are pretty good and that kind of thing. And they do the puzzles in a really cool way, because they've always had these kind of environmental puzzles where you'll go about and you'll be, you know, solving some overcomplex trap that could never actually exist in real life, where, you know, some ancient thing from hundreds of years ago has built this super complex dungeon that you're inside of. And they still have that, but those don't feel like they're slowing things down, because they feel like they're reacting to you, like, in every single way. Like, they feel very short, and they tend to lead into these kind of big set piece moments that kind of just connect everything really quickly.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know, it's maybe just me looking too much into it, but I'm enjoying it, but it's not gripping me in kind of a major way. It's a fun Uncharted game.
Cool.
Other than that, I played a little bit more Fire Emblem Fates Conquest, the purple one.
Yes, yeah.
Which I'm enjoying.
Yeah.
It's a really good Fire Emblem game. It's difficult.
Yeah.
I think I wasn't at the choice. Like, very early in that game, the whole gimmick of this one is, very early in the game, you hit a point and it goes, do you want to side with this guy, this family, or do you want to side with this family?
Yeah.
Which one do I do? And then those split off into two games. There's Birthright and there's Conquest.
Yeah.
And if you buy one of them, you should kind of do the research into knowing which one you want before you pick up the physical copy of it. Otherwise, you might get that choice and go, I like those guys more.
Yeah.
That's the game I want to play. Oh no, I need to pay 18 quid or whatever it is on eShop to buy it.
Yeah.
Which is still a weird system, but from what I understand, those games are completely different. I didn't realize the choice was that early. I thought there was more kind of shared stuff early on.
I wasn't 100% sure, and when it happened, I was actually quite chuffed with it.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit later in the game. I thought it was like maybe half and half, like half shared stuff.
Oh, really?
And then you make a choice. But it's not, it's like two or three missions.
Yeah, out. Yeah.
It's like super early. But yeah, I wiped. I'm playing it with the proper fire. You get to choose. You play casual or you can play like proper Fire Emblem rules.
Yes.
Where characters that die are dead.
Yes.
I'm playing with proper Fire Emblem rules. And when you choose your choice in that kind of choice mission, it gives you a pop-up where it's like, hey, this is the one for people that played a lot of Fire Emblem. Like, because I bought Conquest, which is the one that is,
it's the more difficult one.
It's just, yeah, ostensibly it is the one for the people that played a lot of Fire Emblem.
Yes.
It's the more difficult one. And it pops up and it's like, this is going to be fucking hard as balls. Are you sure about this? Are you sure? This is going to be the hard one. Like, if you play a lot of Fire Emblem, I was like, oh man, maybe I've not played Fire Emblem in a while. It was a poor choice. And sure enough, like, the first mission after that, which I assume is the same for both, but because the mission right after you make the choice is fight the guys that you would have chose otherwise.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Yeah. And I lost the guy right away. Well, actually, the first time I lost everyone and had to start again. But then I lost the guy right away, and I thought, I'm going to try this and not save scum and see how it goes. The mission after that in Conquest is you're in a swamp.
Right.
You're in a swamp and your character's been sent off on his or her own. I made a female character. She's been sent off on her own. And she's in this swamp and instantly like one character shows up that's like your butler. And he's like, no, I'm here to help you. And he's a healer. So it's like, that's good. Okay, it's just these two against this kind of wave of enemies.
Yeah.
And you just have to survive, like, you know, I think it's two or three turns until more backup comes. But that butler was the guy who died for me the mission before.
Right.
And it's kind of weird how it handles it, because he has to exist for story reasons.
Yes.
So he shows up and he's like, oh, I'm here to help you. But he's dead, so gameplay-wise, he isn't actually there. He just shows up for the story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he just shows up. And he's like, I'm here, but he's not actually there because he died the last game. So it's just me without a fucking healer, waves of enemies coming at me. I'm like, well, I'm dead. Fuck this one right up. So I had to go back and redo that mission and play it. And that mission ended up not being too difficult, and it was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah. What I ended up doing was I picked the hardest level. You pick the level, so I pick a hard level, and I picked the same thing with a permadeath. So yeah. I'm happy with that. I hadn't even got to the bit with the choices, you know. So there's a mission where you start off and you're on a bridge, mm-hmm. and you're going to invade a village.
Oh yeah.
I had to do that one 4 times.
That one's pretty hard. I did that a couple of times.
So I get to that point and I get to the, I think the next one after that is that's where the choice comes in.
Yeah.
So I did that one, and I'm doing.
I see there's one before that.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Where they introduce the dragon stuff.
Yes. It's the one where they introduce the dragon stuff, and I'm getting just my arms handed to me left, right.
I know. They're like, by the way, you can turn into a dragon. When you're a dragon, you take like pretty much no damage, and you can just fucking run around killing everything. Also, these guys have swords that kill dragons, and they pretty much one shot you. So stay away. Oh, you're dead. Ah, fuck. Wow.
Yeah.
It was this mission again then.
So what I ended up doing is I've turned the difficulty down. So I've turned the difficulty down, but I'm still playing with the permadeath.
I like that that's the system, is that you can turn the difficulty down at any point, but you can't turn it back
up. Yes, yeah.
So if you're like, I need to play this at an easier difficulty, it's like, fine. But, you know, this is how it is now.
Yeah.
Like, you have to turn it down. You're turning it down.
Yeah, so I've turned it down, and it's now become more, you know, it is more about the tactics, and but Fire Emblem's always been like that as well.
Yeah, I mean that's the point. Is
yeah, so yeah, I'm hoping it will ramp up a little bit more, because I don't want to start it again.
Yeah.
From
what I understand, like both these versions of the games are completely different.
Yeah,
I think there's some stuff that are played from like different perspectives but are the same similar mission, but Conquest kind of adds extra things on top of it that's like, oh, you have to deal with this weather condition now.
So I'm on chapter 10, I think. I'm just about to go into chapter 10.
I'm on chapter 8.
So every chapter that I've played, I've always had someone joining me, so I end up with more units.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you get more units and more experience in Birthright, which is the one that I'm playing, as opposed to Conquest.
Yeah.
So,
I think in particular, there's, I think the main difference between them, like the missions are different, and I think Conquest has more of a old school Fire Emblem thing where like each mission has its kind of unique kind of gimmicks to make it harder and stuff. But the main kind of difference between them is that Birthright has repeatable quests, I believe. Like some side things you can do over and over.
Yes.
So you can grind for experience and gold.
Yes.
And Conquest doesn't have that.
Ooh.
So you get what you get in the missions, which is how old Fire Emblem games used to work anyway. And it's just like, you know, if you don't get enough experience and your characters are on the level and stuff, you're just fucked. Like, there's some stuff you can use to grind a little bit, but it's not as easy to grind, basically.
Uh-huh.
which is interesting. I'm enjoying it so far.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Do you get the, at the end of every mission, do you go back to a castle?
Yeah, yeah. You get your own wee base.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that. I don't think,
it's a weird system.
Yeah, it is quite weird, and, you know, you can go and talk to people, and you can collect things and feed the wee dragon that's there, and they'll protect your castle from invasions from spot pass and things like that. And it's quite weird. I find it a little bit disjointed. I feel it takes me away from the, you know, the Fire Emblem game.
Yeah, away from the story.
Yeah, but...
But it does have the kind of the, that's where a lot of the character interactions are.
Yes, yeah, you can, so you've got like a little private quarters and you can invite people in and you can build relationships with them. And if you can marry. You can
touch their faces.
You can touch their faces?
Their faces show up on, when you invite them to your personal quarters, their face shows up on the touchscreen.
Touch
their faces.
I didn't realize you could touch their faces.
Touch their faces. Yeah, I think it does happen, but you can do it. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a. It kind of. I like the, you know, the interactions with the characters and things, but the whole running about and. It's strange. It's weird, but you don't really need to do that much with it. You can kind of, you know, speak to all the different characters to get the power ups and then move on. It is.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I do, yeah, I am enjoying it as well.
Yeah. I assume, like, most of my complaints about that actually were all from the character creator at the start.
Oh, right.
Because the start you get to make a character.
Yes.
And it's mostly quite good. It's just not, it's quite light on options. There's like a dozen different hairstyles, but there's like two faces.
Yes.
And there's like, you know, you get to choose, there's four body types. There's, it's put out as though it's a graph, but you can only choose four points on the graph, and it's like height and, I think muscliness or something like that. And so you can choose either be like tall and muscly or short and muscly or tall and skinny or short and skinny.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's it. It's kind of limited in that way. The one bit that really annoyed me, it's such a silly little thing, is that when you're making your name, the keyboard shows up on the top screen and you have to use the buttons to type it in.
Yes.
So you've got a touchscreen right there. Other parts of the game before that, use the touchscreen for a keyboard.
Yeah.
It's like, why is this a thing? Why did you separate it in this weird way? But that's just a silly little thing.
Yeah.
Did
you find, there's kind of like side missions are called, Paralogue?
Yeah, I've only done the first one so far.
Yeah, same here. I've only found the one.
I think those are shared. I think those are the same. Across
yeah.
The
were you, mine, I suppose we can give away details because it's not really spoilery, but there's a village and there's a mum and a daughter and there's the faceless monsters. Mm-hmm. And you need.
And you go rescue the daughter from them. Yeah,
except I didn't rescue her.
Oh, did she not?
No, I got there and she died.
I
rescued her and I spoke to her, and then. What I did was I pulled her back. I didn't send her in to fight one of the guys, and I thought I had her far enough away from the beastie, and the beastie came up and he one-shotted her.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, but I got experience though, so.
That's fine. Yeah. It gives a bit hard life.
But yeah, there's plenty to do.
Yeah, definitely. I will probably put a lot of time into this game, largely because I'll be repeating the missions over and over, trying to finish them. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Will you be buying the extra content?
I'm not sure. We'll see how long it takes me to get through this one. Maybe by the time I get to the end of it, I'll be like, okay, I want to play Birthright, and I want to play the third one, or I just want to play the third one.
Well, here's the thing as well. So there's Birthright, you know, there's the two Conquest and Birthright, which you can do. But they're also, they've brought out a challenge pack, a map pack. Oh, so yeah. For an extra £16 something, you can buy the season pass and it will give you access to, it says 11 maps, but one of them's free. So it's another 10 challenges. And this is on top of, you know, Birthright or Conquest, depending on which one you already have, and Revelation, which is coming out as well.
Yeah.
So.
Which will be the kind of third story.
Yeah. So I was reading up on what that was as well. Now I'm now very interested in wanting to play all three of them if I can. So.
Yeah, because that third one is basically, you know, the first two are. You choose this side. You choose the family that raised you, or you choose your biological family.
Yes.
Or you choose neither. The third one is you choose neither.
Exactly, yeah. It's what happened if you didn't choose a side.
Yeah.
And
you decide to take your own side.
Yeah, so I'm intrigued to see how the whole thing's going to differ, and, all of the reviews, when I say I've read, I've kind of skimmed to look for whether they say it's good or bad, and because I don't want too many details. But they're, I think everyone's been very favourable about it.
Yeah, I think some people at least seem a bit more positive on Conquest. I don't know if that's just because it's like mostly people that have played like a lot of previous Fire Emblem games.
All right, okay.
But that's just what I've seen at least. But both are like getting stupidly positive reviews.
Uh-huh.
And I so far agree with that. I really like this one. Conquest.
Yeah.
And it's making me use my 3DS more, which is always a good thing.
Yes, yeah. But I think I will pay. I don't know if I'll buy all of them, but I will. I'll definitely buy one, at least one more, I think.
Yeah, I might. I think I might be more likely to go back and play Awakening after this, because I've not played that
yet.
Oh,
right. Have you got Awakening?
I don't, so that might be something I end up buying.
Yeah, I mean, that's... The Fire Emblem games are very much like, you know, the Pokemon games and certain Mario games of from Nintendo's category, where they don't lose their value.
Yeah, that's the main reason I've not played Awakening yet, is because it's been like 30 quid since launch.
Yeah, I got quite lucky because I don't know if you remember when I bought Project X Zone, however you want to say it. But when I got the first Project X Zone, I bought it bought a physical copy, and then I won a copy on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
So I got a digital copy of it, and what I did was I took it back, or not back, but I took it to CEX. And use the money that I got from that to get a second-hand copy of Fire Emblem.
All right.
And the copy that I'd got, I think the person had played it for like an hour.
That's pretty much.
It still had the, to show you that how untouched it was, it still had the VIP code, the Nintendo VIP code, unused.
That's good.
Yeah. So I was quite lucky when I picked that up, so I didn't really spend anything on it as such. But yeah, I think even going to CEX, they still want £38 for a used copy. Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah, definitely.
I heard good things about that one as well, though.
Yeah, I did my usual. I bought it, played it for like 5-6 hours, raved about it, and then moved on to something else. So I need to go back and play through that as well. Finish that as well. But cool. What else have you been playing?
I think that might be it for video games.
All right.
Oh, I played a little bit of the Valkyria Chronicles remaster.
Oh, right. Yes.
It's a very pretty version of Valkyria Chronicles, but. Is that very same game. If somehow someone hasn't played it yet, I recommend it.
Right, okay. Because
it's great.
Cool.
But other than that, the main thing I played was on Sunday. I had some friends over, and we played a game of Fiasco.
Ah.
Which is a role-playing game, like a pen and paper style thing, although there's very little pen and paper involved because it's very simple. Where it's kind of inspired by things like the Coen brothers movies, like, you know, Fargo and Born After Reading and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the basic idea is that you're kind of making your characters and making a kind of little movie, essentially. You're acting out different scenes of this kind of film and improvising it, and then, you know, that'll go somewhere. But I really love the kind of setup for it because it's so simple. Like, the idea is it's supposed to be really simple, and it's not. You're not dice roll. You're not rolling dice to, you know, resolve conflicts and stuff like that. There are dice in it, but it's for very simple reasons.
Right.
Basically, it's split up into playsets, and playsets have locations. They have. Oh god, what have they got? They have locations, they have relationships, they have items, and they have needs. And all of your character stuff that is kind of made by the game, by dice, is made up of these.
Right, okay.
So, it's... I'll try the best way to explain it. Basically, there's four dice per person. During this kind of setup phase, and you roll all those dice into the middle, and you go through the relationships, and every person has to have a relationship with the person sitting to the left and to the right of them.
Right, okay.
Or, you know, clockwise, counterclockwise, depending on where you are on the table. And this is kind of pretty much all that defines your character, is this relationship. And, you know, they're kind of split up into different sections. There's, like, you can have a crime relationship. One of the ones that came up in ours was two of the people at our table were smugglers that were working together. Two of us were just misanthropes that knew each other. You know, they both hated the world, so they were happy.
Right, okay. Together.
Two people were friends, but one of them was manipulating the other. And... you know, that kind of thing. And everyone has one of those between, you know, the person on the left and person on the right. And you choose these by rolling all the dice to start with. And then you go around the table, and one by one, everyone picks a dice. And from the book, picks one of the things that relates to that. Or you do it the other way around, really. You look through the book, and you try and find a dice that matches it.
Right.
So they have... kind of the bigger overall relationship, so it'll be, you know, like crime, friendship, whatever. And then you have the more in-depth one that is, you know, smugglers and misanthropes and manipulators and whatever. So you need two dice, basically. You need one for the overall one and one for the kind of more detailed one.
Right, okay.
And that's kind of your relationship defined that way. And once that's done, everyone has those done. And you take turns, basically, so everyone gets a chance to kind of... you can set things to do with other people's relationships if you want, and not, you know, let other people define your relationships with your, you know, nearby characters.
Yeah.
Or you can kind of focus down and go, like, this is my character, so I want my relationship with the person to the right of me to be that we had a one-night fling. And then, with the dice that remain, you go through the locations, the items, and needs. And you get to choose from those pages which ones you want to put in. It's still the same thing where you're getting dice numbers that match, you know, the overall ones, and then you have to refine it afterwards. But pretty much everyone just ends up with, like, one of these things, and you can have, like... we only had one location in our game, which was the post office.
Right.
We were playing a playset which is set in Antarctica. The idea is you're kind of like a bunch of people living out in the middle of nowhere in Antarctica, and so our one location that connected two of the characters was the post office. Items and needs. So one of the needs was two of our characters shared the relationship and shared this need to get even with everyone else in Antarctica. And one of the items that showed up was a 55... gallon barrel marked urine. And there's like a couple other things, stuff like that, but those are kind of what shaped our story. And so after that, everyone takes turns acting out a scene. They get to choose. You get to either choose if you want to make a scene, if you want to set a scene up, or if you want to resolve a scene.
Right.
So by making up a scene, you go, okay, I want to be in the post office interacting with this character. And you got to say what you want to get out of that scene. So you might be like, I want to get in on his smuggling operation.
Right.
Because I know he's a smuggler.
Okay.
And you kind of start acting out and you just improvise it and you role play the whole thing. And then the people that aren't in that scene partway through your scene get to pick up a dice. So either you have black dice and white dice, or we didn't have particular ones. So we were using, we cannibalized the dice from Leanne's copies of the Alice dice game.
Right.
Which she has multiple copies of, which, we had premium dice and non-premium dice, which kind of made a decent enough split. And partway through, they'll give you a black dice or a white dice. A white dice for good ending, saying this scene went the way you wanted it to. Uh-huh. Or a black dice for a bad ending, to say this is, it didn't go well for you. This has to end with you not getting what you want. And they pass it to you partway through your scene so that both you and whoever else is in the scene know that you have to resolve it that way. It has to be, generally it'll be based on kind of how it's been going anyway.
Right.
If it's going really well and you're convincing this person of something, other players aren't going to then hand you a black dice and say, nah, you fucked up. They're going to go, okay, yeah, that's going well for you. The catch being that there's a limited number of these black and white dice. There's two of each for each person. So by the end of the game, you're only going to have black dice left, or only going to have white dice left, depending on if you're giving them out. So not every scene can be a good scene. A lot of scenes will have to, at least half the scenes have to go poorly for the person that's doing it.
Right. Okay.
And it's just a really simple thing. So there's no dice rolling for resolving things. And in the first half of the game, when someone gives you one of these dice, you then get to choose to give it to someone else, and it all comes back towards at the end. But then the other thing you can do instead of deciding on a, instead of creating a scene, is you can resolve a scene where everyone else at the table pitches in to create a scene for you, and then you get to choose whether it's a black dice or a white dice situation and choose the ending to it yourself.
Right.
So a simple kind of version of this would be, we had the two smugglers had a scene where they were kind of, one of them was trying to hire the other one to smuggle something for him. And so the white dice situation was he convinces the other guy to smuggle for him. And they set up that scene and they, interacted and role-played it. And then I got to choose whether it was a white dice or black dice based on what they had done. And so our story kind of evolved from... naturally evolves from the character relationships and the stuff that, the items and whatever that get picked at the start.
Uh-huh.
So we had, like I said, a 55-gallon drum marked urine, and someone was a smuggler, and someone had the relationship of post office, or location of post office. So our whole plot ended up revolving around this guy who had a urine barrel that was 55 gallons big, and was trying to hire these smugglers to smuggle it through the post office. And we weren't sure what was actually in it. He would never reveal throughout the entire game what was actually in this barrel. We assumed it was just a urine barrel and he was smuggling something highly illegal through it.
Right.
But the smuggler's plan was he was going to double cross him. He was going to take this barrel, empty it out, put some cocaine in it, and smuggle this cocaine out of Antarctica to make some money. I don't know how he got so much cocaine in Antarctica, but hey, that's
right. Okay,
how it goes. But it ended up just this really silly thing, and it was a lot of fun. And again, because things have to go bad, towards the end, everyone's double-crossing each other, and all this terrible shit's happening. No one ends up getting out of it unscathed.
Right.
Halfway through the game, Fiasco has this thing called the Tilt.
Right.
And it's where you get all the dice that have been... all dice that remain, I think it is. And everyone gets the dice that they've been given during the first half of the game, and they roll them, and they subtract the highest number for the lowest number. They add together the white dice and the black dice, and then they subtract the highest number from the lowest number. And so you end up with, like, if you have a higher black number, you end up with, a black 3 or a white 3 or whatever. And whoever has the highest black number and whoever has the highest white number gets something from the tilt table added to them. And these are usually things like someone develops a conscience. Or the one that we got was greed leads to killing. So there was something else as well. I can't remember what the other one was. I think it was an innocent bystander intervenes. So those kind of got combined. And so one of the characters, like one of our player characters, got straight up murdered because she had not been kind of she was not involved with the main kind of smuggling part of things. And so she kind of intervenes at some point and gets introduced into it and then gets gunned down. And it's just this very silly thing. We also added a bunch of like really dumb stuff because the people we're playing with were, we have our own sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
So, we were designing our characters because again, the characters are pretty much only defined by the relationships. A lot of the relationships have two-sided things. And so you get to decide with the person you're sharing with who is who. So like I had manipulator victim and I was like, well, I also have this location of post office. So I guess I could be the victim and I work at the post office and you're manipulating me into doing something at the post office. And so we designed our characters around that. And we kind of wrote a little brief description of them and made a name. And we're all terrible at naming characters, apparently. So we all named our characters after whatever was on my Blu-ray shelf, because I was beside the table we're playing at. So we ended up with characters called someone's character was called Haribo Strawberry, I think it was, or Harry Straw for short. One of them was called Phoenix Fire.
Right, because if
but he was a smuggler. He was called Phoenix Fire, and his smuggling kind of alias was. I can't remember what it was now. It was Azkaban something. Because he was looking at the Harry Potter box set.
Right.
And so he was taking names off of that. My character was called Rosencrantz. Because I had a copy of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern there. And I called my character Rosencrantz, or Rosie for short.
Right.
And it was just this silly, lighthearted thing. It's a good way to play role playing games if you don't want to get into reading a bunch of rule books like you have to for Dungeons and Dragons and things like that.
Right.
And because it's this light thing, there's no dungeon master, there's no kind of game master that has to do all this prep beforehand and make up all this stuff beforehand.
Yeah.
It's very much just everyone gets in, you make up as you go along. No one is leading it. You kind of all talk together out of character between scenes to be like, this is where this seems to be going. Maybe the next scene should be this.
Right.
Maybe we should kind of head in this direction. The one thing we kind of noticed was that because it was our first time playing, we kind of misjudged how long it was. So we ended up resolving a lot of things by, there's basically two acts and everyone at the table gets two scenes per act.
Oh.
So by the third lot of scenes, we kind of had wrapped most things up. So our fourth lot of scenes ended up just being everyone murdering each other and running around and evading the police and stuff like that. But that was just because we didn't really know how long it was because we hadn't done it before.
Yeah.
We kind of misjudged it. But yeah, I highly recommend Fiasco for people that are kind of interested in getting into role playing but don't want to jump into something super meaty like Dungeons and Dragons.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay.
It's a lot of fun. And the theme of it is great as well. And there's a ton of playsets online. There's three or four in the book itself. They released a second book that adds like a bunch more. And then there's just like websites that have these playsets that people have made that you can just download. And the playsets are literally just those kind of lists of relationships, lists of items, lists of locations, that kind of stuff. So it's just for that setup that you use these playsets and you have these vastly different, you know, toned and themed things.
Uh-huh.
I think it's always going to end up kind of silly and funny because that's kind of the point of it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm glad we finally got a game of it because we've had that book sitting there for quite a while now.
Yeah, I think you bought that the last time you were sort of down our neck of the woods.
I didn't. I bought it slightly after that because...
That's right, you went looking for it.
I saw it there for that price. It was a lot cheaper than what I ended up buying it for. Well, not a lot cheaper, but a bit cheaper than I ended up buying it for. And I ended up getting it for a little bit more, but it was kind of worth it. And it was a Valentine's present, so it's, you know, you've got to spend some money
absolutely.
On your girlfriend sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was all we actually ended up playing on that day. We were not sure how long it was going to take, so we took a few hours, so we ended up not getting a chance to play any other board games or anything.
All right, okay.
But yeah, that's me. That was all I played.
All right, cool. I played a couple of things. Played more Fire Emblem, which we've already spoken about.
It's really good.
Yeah. So still playing that. And I now have decent broadband.
Yay!
Yay! So I have. I'm in the process of moving house as well. But funny story is that the house that I'm moving from, is getting decent broadband as I'm leaving. So I've got two houses. I'm bouncing between the two houses and I've got very good broadband in both. Where I'm going to be living, I've got a broadband speed similar to you. So around about 80 odd meg and stuff. But anyway, we're digressing here. So I've been able to play a lot more online games. So I'm not bugging out on people and things like that. And I'm also able to download things. Because that was the biggest thing was downloading demos and things like that. You would say to me to download a demo to check it out. And I'd be like, well, I'm not going to bother because I'm going to have to spend 3 days downloading a game that I'm only going to get to play for an hour.
An hour, exactly.
So I eventually got round to checking out the Platinum demo for Final Fantasy 14.
Mm-hmm. How did you find it?
Oh man, that is beautiful. That is really, really good.
Final Fantasy 15.
15, sorry. Yeah, I beg your pardon. Yeah. 15, yeah. It reminded me, and I think you said this as well, it reminded me of Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, very much.
So I think the wee beasties, because they look like Heartless as well.
They look like Heartless.
Yeah, and then I like the combat system where it's, you just hold down the button.
Yeah, it's a smart system.
Yeah, so I downloaded it on Xbox One. Mm-hmm. It was the console that I had on at the time, and so I downloaded it. It was a 4 gig download, and it took me 10 minutes, if that. And obviously the consoles download at a slower speed than, you know, say the PC and stuff. But it was great. I started the download, went to the loo, went to speak to my fiance, chatted to one of the cats, sorted them out, and I came back and the game was ready to play. It was awesome. This newfangled technology. I'm loving it.
As long as the cat didn't chat back.
No, they chirrup back, but they don't talk. No, it's not like I'm not living with Garfield, in case you're worried. But yeah, so I downloaded that. That was I'm still looking forward to the full game. I think that was more just to give you a taste of what the game's going to look like.
Yeah, definitely, because it had all the weird kind of like time of day changing stuff and the weather changing stuff that made it feel very much like a tech demo.
Yeah, so you could, and then you know, you got to jump into one of the vehicles and drive that a little bit.
Oh, no, you don't get to jump into a vehicle.
You turn into a vehicle.
You turn into a vehicle. Yeah.
And you also turn into, I think I turned into some sort of bear thing.
Yeah, you get to turn into different monsters to see their kind of animations and stuff. It's so tech demo-y.
Yeah.
But it's a very nice tech demo.
Yes, yeah, it was. So the only thing that I would say is the controls felt a bit off.
They're a bit floaty.
Yes. All right, okay, so I'm glad that's not just...
No, I definitely feel that way. I think they felt a lot better in that demo than they did in the demo that came with
Type Zero, yeah.
So I think it's something they are very much kind
all of right, okay.
working on, which is good.
Cool.
They at least seem somewhat aware of the issues with it, and they're kind of fixing it as they go.
Ah.
Which you can hope, it's in development.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm more excited for that game than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
Because it's a Final Fantasy game, and we've talked about it on this podcast before a couple of times, but I'm not like the biggest fan of that series. Like, they have good entries and I enjoy some of them, but a lot of it's just kind of, I don't know. I feel like the series as a whole is somewhat kind of worn out its welcome for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And things like 13 kind of put a damper on it for quite a while.
Oh god, yeah.
And then you get stuff that brings me back in, like Theorhythm, and I really liked Type Zero, and I really, really liked 14, so I'm looking forward to this. The demo was good, and the demo with Type Zero was good for other reasons.
Yeah,
Like I said, the controls were a bit better than the newer one, but, you know, it's very clear that where they're going seems to be a direction that could end up fantastic, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We can see.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it and what happens with it. So that'd be quite good. Don't think, how long have we got to wait? Is it September?
I think it's September.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so that'll be good. I also bought something. So I bought a game which, if you've listened to this podcast, I've said I would buy it when I had decent internet, and I also said I would buy it when the price was right.
Yeah.
And that was Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
So Star Wars Battlefront, with me moving and the decent internet coming in and stuff, I went and I found a second-hand copy from CEX. I'm now selling it for £15.
Oh, that's a good price.
Yeah, so that was a good price for me. I quite like it. It is a fun game. Mm-hmm. And a couple of issues. So obviously the most glaring one, I think everyone has spoke about it to death, is that there is no single player content whatsoever.
No, not at all.
You know, it's a multiplayer game. You can play some of the battles by yourself to get a feel for it, but it doesn't. The only thing that you can get used to is, you know, how does it feel when the character runs about? How does it feel when he shoots a gun? Because the experience.
The answer to those questions is good.
Yes.
It feels good.
Yeah. So
those guns feel real good.
Yeah. The experience that you get from playing those single player battles and then playing the online game modes is completely different.
Yeah, 100%.
The online game modes are really good. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed them. There's not enough variety, which again is something else that's always been said, and you know it is being addressed with the season pass and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that as well. The other thing that I found, and I think it's not a fault of the game, it's because I'm late to the party. So I'm coming in and I'm still trying to get used to the game and the map, and you know, I'm playing against people that know these maps and they know this game mode backwards, so I'm sticking my head out of a door and I'm getting it blasted off from the opposite side of the map. So you've got people that are used to the game, they're also used to the maps and they know all of that. But not only that, but it's this leveling system and this system of earning weapons.
Yeah. So they might have slightly... I found that a lot of the weapons you unlock are not necessarily better than the older weapons.
Uh-huh.
They're just different.
But
it definitely limits what you can do to start
yes,
with.
Yes, yeah.
Like, you'll be getting sniped, and you'll be like, I don't have a sniper. I can't be a sniper.
Exactly.
That's not a,
yes.
It's not an option for me.
Yeah. But I was kind of... You know, the first couple of times it happened, it was like, right, okay, I can understand that. I've just come in. This game's been running since September? Something
like that.
So it's been running all that time. I can understand that. That's no problem at all. And just kind of dealing with it and getting used to it. And then where I did notice the difference was I was playing again last night. And I ended up in one of the 40-player games, and it had dwindled down to about, I think there was 15, and there was 8 on our side and 7 on the other side. And kind of the more experienced players, I think, had buggered off, and they'd went to go and find another room, or they went to bed, or whatever it was. But I ended up being able to play the game and last a little bit longer, because the people that were left were of a same skill set.
Yeah.
And it became immediately more enjoyable.
Definitely.
Because everyone was running around. The people that were left didn't know where all the power-ups, you know, so where they were scattered amongst the map. So I was able to pilot an AT-AT. I was able to fly... a TIE fighter, and I became Darth Vader in a match, and it was cool. It was good.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot of fun. The season pass thing, though, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a really expensive season pass.
Yeah, and
given they've also announced that like there's another one coming out next year, like I don't play this game enough that I care to get season pass for it rather than just wait for a new game filled with new content next year.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of thinking that as well. See if the new game comes with a whole load of content, which you're hoping it will. Yeah,
because they've had a bit longer for them.
Yeah,
because they came out recently. Like when they announced that stuff, they also kind of did a bit more interviews with you know, with different press outlets.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that came up was that Battlefront was very much kind of rushed to coincide with the movie coming out.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have anything from The Force Unleashed, not Force Unleashed, The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Except for the Jakku map, which even then is set before Force Awakens.
Yes.
But it, you know, it was rushed out to try and, or not rushed out, but you know, it was limited in content and scope because they were trying to get it out in time for the movie. And from what has kind of been said, they kind of only got the license like a year before. So it was kind of a short turnaround on it.
Mm-hmm.
This one they've had a bit longer to do because, you know, if it's not coming out till presumably the end of next year, it's at least a couple of years of development. So hopefully there's a bit more in it.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think so. See, the other thing with the content that's coming out in the season pass, though, the final piece of content comes out next year. Because from what I was reading and what I was checking up on, people seem to be of the opinion that the final piece of content is going to be a tie-in to the new Star Wars film that's coming out at the end of this year, the Rogue One.
Yeah, because that's the stuff that's set inside the Death Star.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Well, we know there's a Death Star one, but there's one after that.
Oh, is there another one after that? Okay.
I think so. Yeah, Death Star could be Rogue One tie-in, but there's another one that we're not too sure. And from what I was reading, I think they definitely think that's going to be tied into the new films.
It would make sense if they can announce it.
Yeah. So, and there's still people, I don't have, you know, I didn't buy the new content, which is it Outer Rim, I think it's called?
Yeah, it adds more, Tatooine maps and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't bought.
And your unlock system.
Yeah, I haven't bought it, and I was I'm still able to get a game no problem at all. I don't know if many people have bought it.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect so. With dice games in particular, like Battlefield in the past has always been kind of like that, where people don't entirely move on to the expansion. Like, a good amount of people stick with the base game.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so if you want to buy it, it's like £12. And if you buy all pieces of content, so I imagine each one of the contents will be £12 a piece.
Presumably.
So, you know, over the space of more than a year, it's going to cost you £48.
Yeah.
And I think that's more manageable than an upfront fee of £40.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they offer it both.
Yeah, yeah. So.
I very rarely buy season passes just because I don't really understand paying for DLC when you don't know the quality of
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yes.
Because in the past, like, we've gotten stuff like the Borderlands season pass was pretty good. You know, it added, like, a handful of really big, meaty kind of story, well, as far as, you know, Borderlands had story. You know, like, big, meaty kind of new areas with lots of new loot and stuff like that in them. So far, the Witcher season pass has been pretty good. Like, that first DLC piece is, you know, one of the best things. Like, we gave it our best expansion last year.
Yes.
But then you get things like Arkham Knight, where you pay for a season pass, and you get a bunch of shitty costumes, and I think there was three kind of story things by the end that were all incredibly short and bad. You know, so it's like, it's very hit or miss. Like, I bought the season pass for The Witcher 3 because I bought it in the PSN store, the US PSN store, and it was kind of the same price to get it that way anyway, as it would have been to buy the game just in general here. And, you know, in general, I don't buy season passes because you can't trust that stuff. Like, you don't know if it's going to be good or not. Wait till it comes out. And the thing is, they don't stop selling season passes.
No.
So you can wait until even just the first bit comes out and you go, this first bit's fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, I would recommend buying the season pass for The Witcher 3 right now, even though Blood and Wine isn't out yet, because Hearthstone's so fantastic, they'd have to really shit the bed for Blood and Wine to not be good.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's that kind of thing. Like, at the very least, wait till the first DLC comes out and go, this makes it worth the investment for me. So far for Battlefront, that new DLC, the first DLC seems good, but it doesn't make me go, man, I really need to pay £40 up front to get another couple of these.
Yeah.
It just makes me go, I might wait till the next one's out, see if it's any good and get both. You know, get DLC, so I get a season pass, so I have both, or, you know, wait till the next one's out after that, or maybe I'll be playing Overwatch by then. Who knows? Like, I might not be playing Battlefront. So, yeah, I don't know. Season passes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't even know if I would buy the Outer Rims. I'm not playing the game with anyone, so I'm not too sure how long I'm going to be playing it. Have you still got Battlefront?
I've got it. I bought it digitally.
All right, cool.
I jump in and out of it now and again. I'll definitely get a game now. I know you've got it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, because I quite like it. It's you can jump in and out, and you can do a battle. So some of the battles, the bigger 40-player battles, can take like 40 minutes.
And yeah, they can take quite a long time. They can be really back and forth.
Yeah, and that's quite a, you know, it feels like a nice bite-sized chunk. So, yeah.
And if you really kind of just want to jump in for quick stuff, you just jump into the I forget what it's called, the dogfighting mode.
Yes, yeah.
And those matches are like 10 minutes long. And they're just you flying around blowing up for a few minutes. Yeah. It's like, that's great fun. It's not as much skill as the regular shooting, because you hold down the lock on button, then hold down the shoot button and hope for the best.
Yes.
But, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, I've been having fun with it, and who knows, I might end up picking up some of this stuff, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Have I played anything else? I'm just trying to think. actually looking at my... I've just been downloading stuff, PlayStation Plus games that we've received and checking them out. Tabletop Racing, I had a quick look at that.
What did you think?
Garbage.
Yeah, it's kind of...
I
really didn't like that
it's
game.
It's garbage. You don't like the kind of Mario Kart games anyway.
Yeah, but this one in particular didn't feel like a very good one.
The handling is off. It drives horribly. It's crap. Don't even bother.
I think the way that those games have to work well for me is like how Mario Kart works and like how the Sega All-Star Racing works, where they're really fast.
Yes.
They're focused heavily on drifting around corners, and it's kind of all you need. Like, have a boost in there somewhere. This one just felt kind of slow, and maybe it gets faster later on. Maybe it unlocks some stuff that makes you feel a lot faster. But to start with,
when it starts off and it says there's a drift button, there's no drift. You can't drift.
Yeah, if there is, it's very...
It's very subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, horrible, just... bitterly disappointed. Checked out Switch Galaxy Ultra.
Oh, actually, I played a little bit of that.
Yeah, only played a little bit of it.
I played like the first mission or so.
I think I played about the first four or five, so maybe a little bit more than you. Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, I quite like that.
I
thought the voice acting and the story was hot garbage.
Oh god, yes.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
But the actual gameplay is fun.
Yes.
It's really fast paced. I wasn't sure what it was going in. We have a review on the site for that, and I
do
kind
we?
Of. Maybe some Camden
Town. Ah, right, I'm not too sure. I remember when it first came out, and I checked it out, and I seen video plays of it, and I thought, oh, right, it's like Skelectrics.
I'm pretty sure Nathan reviewed it.
Oh, really?
But I don't know if he did the review for us or if it was just before Camden.
Oh, right, I'm not too sure. So I checked that out and it wasn't too bad.
I like it. It's fast paced. It's not, I thought maybe it was like some kind of racing game or something, but it's almost like a rhythm game in a way.
Ah, right.
Because it is, you're on these separate tracks and you're kind of switching between them and.
Yeah.
Nathan wrote a review for that. It was on Camden Town.
Right.
Switch Galaxy Ultra. Cool thing.
Cool.
Did you play any other PlayStation Plus games you'd missed? Any Tropical in?
I didn't play any Tropical. I downloaded Zombie, but I didn't play it. Had a look at Injustice again, just for shits and giggles, and because I could download it, it was fine. What I did do, which was quite cool, was I played some Drive Club and a little bit of Star Wars Battlefront on my Vita when I was in the other house, and I used the remote play.
Yeah. How did you find it?
I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, I've had good experiences with remote play.
Yeah.
Pretty much unanimously. It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Have you tried Trackmania with it yet?
No, I haven't. I had.
Trackmania is a good one for remote
play. Yeah. What I'll do is I'll need to put the disc in because I don't own it digitally, so I need to put the disc in.
Oh, yeah.
But cool. What we're going to do at the moment is we're just actually going to take a 2-minute break and we're going to pause recording and. Paul might put in some musical interludes or something, but we're going to do that quickly, and then we'll be back in a second. Cool, and we're back. We just had something I had to deal with there. So we were talking about playing games using the remote play on the Vita and the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
I found Drive Club was a little bit flighty, but it wasn't too bad. Star Wars Battlefront, though, that was a bit of a nightmare.
Anything that requires like really fast reactions can be a bit of an issue.
It was more the precision that was needed
that too.
In Battlefront,
things that need or can use the analog triggers also can be a bit iffy because obviously the Vita doesn't have analog triggers.
Of course, yeah.
But for the most part, it's fine. It gets it done.
Yes.
It's worth trying Trackmania. Trackmania is really fast paced and stuff, but it seems to work really well for some reason.
All right, okay.
At least I found it. Like, you won't be putting in your best times or anything like that, but it's still fun to.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I think that's really it. I haven't, didn't play any board games or anything.
I know,
first time in a long time. I'm just trying to think if I've played anything else. Played a bit more Star Fox, but nothing really to report because it was a wee while ago since I played it. No, I think that's it.
Cool.
Have we got any news, anything happened that's worth mentioning or talking about?
I don't have it open, but... Fill for time.
When I'm doing that, I could actually look and see if there is anything worth mentioning that's coming out soon. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutants in Manhattan, by the time you're listening to this, that will already be out.
Mm-hmm.
There's the penultimate edition of Tropical 5 coming to the Xbox One, which I would imagine is just like a Game of the Year edition.
Yep, simply.
Speaking of Game of the Year editions and things, well, this one's weird. It's that Dead Island Definitive Collection thing. Haven't we already had like Game of the Year editions for Dead Island several times?
I assume this is on current gen consoles.
I suppose PS4 and Xbox One.
I haven't heard of it.
No, it's coming out at the end of next week anyway. Well, or not next, so by the time you're listening to this on the Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, May the 31st. Apart from that, there's not really much. Prison Architects eventually coming to PS4 and Xbox One?
Yeah. I think it's already out digitally. I think this is physical.
Ah, right, okay.
Ben has been looking at
it. Yes, he has. Yeah, you're right.
For a while now. I don't think they sent him a super early copy, I think.
No. Yeah. And then in June, there's a couple of things coming. Some Mirror's Edge game, apparently. And then there'll be some things coming in June. I'm looking forward to No Man's Sky at the end of June.
I have Mirror's Edge and No Man's Sky pre-ordered for next month.
Cool.
But also that new Kirby game's out next month, and I want that because it looks adorable.
Yeah, that also Guilty Gear Revelator's coming out as well, isn't it?
I really want that.
Yeah.
I can't afford all these games.
No.
So it'll probably be No Man's Sky and Mirror's Edge for me.
I'm not too sure what I'll pick up.
I'll still be playing Stellaris by then.
Yeah.
That's something I didn't mention. I played so much fucking Stellaris. Oh my god. This weekend, like, I don't remember most of it because most of it was Stellaris. That game's so good. There's not a lot of news. The heavily rumored Batman kind of HD collection or definitive editions thing. For PS4 and Xbox One got properly announced. It's called Batman Return to Arkham.
Right.
It has remastered versions of, you know, the other Batman games, the ones that aren't Arkham Knight. So Asylum and Say, the only two other Batman games.
Yeah.
For some reason Origins isn't in it, which is weird, because Origins is great. But yeah. They showed like a graphics comparison thing, and it looks like they're actually doing some work to them. It's not just bump up the resolution, throw them on, which is good.
Yeah, I suppose.
King's Quest Chapter 1 is now free on all platforms.
Yes, I've seen this, yeah.
I highly recommend people try it. I really like that game. I still have around to playing the other couple of chapters. So I think chapter 3 is out now. I just haven't gotten around to playing them. I never get around to these things. But I really loved that first chapter. The first chapter was fantastic. So I highly recommend it. Can't
cool.
speak today, which is a good thing when you're recording yourself speak.
Of course, yeah.
What have we got here? There's not a lot of stuff. That Witcher 3 DLC is coming out next week. Or
yeah.
It'll be out soon. It'll probably out by the time this podcast goes out, actually. This comes out the 31st. So they either be out or coming out as this comes out. There was a leak saying that Destiny is getting a new expansion this year called Rise of Iron, which presumably means it's going to be focused around the, I forget the name of them, the Martian faction.
Uh-huh.
If they were fun to fight in. Overwatch is out. People seem to be liking that.
Cool.
Uncharted 4 sold 2.7 million copies in the first week.
Wow.
Which is the fastest selling first party Sony game of all time.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Really impressively fast. Rocket League has got cross-platform multiplayer added to it on Xbox One, so now you can play Xbox One against PC.
All right, okay.
I wish they promised a little bit ago. And that's kind of it. Yeah, there's an awful lot here. Microsoft fired a bunch of people, but that's more about phone stuff.
Right.
As Microsoft kind of moves out of the phone market. Yeah, there's not a whole lot now. Next week will be bigger because the Games with Gold and the PlayStation Plus games will be announced next week.
Right, okay.
So there'll be more stuff. But for now, there's not a lot of news.
Yeah, fair enough. Excellent, no problem at all. Hey, well, we've already done the new releases and things. Anything else you've been playing, or anything else you still need to get round to?
Let me finish Uncharted 4.
Right. Yeah, I've got quite a lot to. I need to finish Quantum Break. I keep meaning to get into that and Star Fox, but I think I'm getting kind of my life back into order. The real life stuff's kind of getting sorted, yeah. So more time for games, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Ignore real life.
Yes.
You need real life when you have digital lives.
Yeah. Kickstarters, any new Kickstarters?
Oh, there's always dozens. Game-wise, I'm not sure. I don't know.
There is, did you play it was originally an app, a mobile game, and then became like a full PC game and console game called Plague Inc?
Yes.
It's getting a board game.
Yeah, I saw this actually. I was kind of surprised because it's not just Pandemic.
No.
Because that's instantly what you kind of think is like, oh, it's Pandemic, right? It's like,
yeah. Yeah, so I thought it has a little bit. There was a version of a Pandemic called Pandemic Contagion where you played as a virus.
Yeah, so it's got a bit of that in it.
It's got a bit of that in it. And yeah, it looks quite good. It's got quite a lot of stretch goals and things happening.
But, yeah, it seems cool.
Yeah, my plate's kind of full with Kickstarters at the moment.
You can't keep back in Kickstarters.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I think I've got two that I've already funded and I've already paid the money for that, and I've got one coming up, and that's the This War of Mine Kickstarter as well, which is doing really well. It's looking pretty good.
I don't have any pending ones, but I have a bunch that I'm waiting to get delivered.
All right.
Like the Draco Magi expansion is shipped, so it should be.
All right.
It's shipping like from their factories though, so it's going to be a while still.
Uh huh.
Then things like Retreat to Darkmoor and Quests of Valor and stuff like that, they're not due until the end of this year and start of next year, but I'm going to wait for those for back more projects.
Quests of
Valyria?
Valyria? Oh,
you sent that one to me.
I was going to say, yeah, I backed that one as well, yeah.
The whatchamacallit people.
And the guys that did Mana Surge and the rest of the Valyria games, yeah. Yeah. All right.
I mainly backed it because it was cheap and it looked pretty.
Yes, yeah. I kind of did that as well.
I'm sure the rules are good as well, but it looked pretty and it was cheap, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah. Jig Score. Still not heard anything from that.
For Jig Score. It didn't make its funding.
No, and the guy never even sent me a message or nothing.
That's unfortunate.
I know.
There's no updates on the entire thing.
I know.
Never updated the entire thing.
So I'm waiting on Catbox.
Oh, this website still doesn't go anywhere either. Score.com is not a thing. Catbox. Oh, that's by the Cat Tower, Cat.
Yeah.
Bajillion different cat games.
Yes. I've got that, what I'm waiting for. I've got a Tiny Epic Wasteland that should be out, I think, towards Essen time in October. Quest of Valyria and something else as well. The Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Aye.
Yeah, the final expansion for that, but that will be next year as well.
Yeah. The one thing that's about to end that I really want to back but can't really justify the price for is that Saltlands game.
Oh, right, yeah.
It looks real pretty.
Yeah.
And it looks fun as well, but it looks real pretty. But,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but if you have any Kickstarters that you want us to back, or you just want to taunt us with, or if you want to send us an email, or just get in contact with us, you can do so. You can send us an email to podcast@glitchfreegaming.com, or you can find us on Facebook, just search for Glitch Free Gaming, or if you want, you can send us a tweet, and to do that, you would find us at Glitch Free Game on Twitter. That's our handle, or what do you call that?
It's our tweet name.
I don't know. You're talking.
Zer.
Yeah, you're talking to the two people that have hardly ever used Twitter in its entire life.
Yeah, I don't use Twitter as much as I should.
Yeah, same.
Find me on Goodreads.
This is true. Is there anything else they can follow us on?
Instagram. YouTube. Go check our YouTube channel. We have some videos.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I've not done anything since the last podcast, but I'm trying to do some stuff.
Yes, I've got an idea for another video to come as well. I don't want to tell you what it is, because if I don't do it, then
can't be held to it.
Exactly, yes.
I'm trying to prep a video for A Fake Artist Goes to New York, but
oh, nice, good.
I need to play it a couple more times with the notepad, because right now we played it on a whiteboard, so it would just be me holding up the box pretty much, because there's nothing to show, because I don't have any drawings, because they were all done on a whiteboard and wiped off again.
Right.
And it's kind of the point of the game, so I'm going to try getting our couple of games of that in soon, so that I have some drawings to show and kind of explain how the game works a bit easier. But that'll probably be up in a couple of weeks. For now, my Kickstarter run-through is up there. My Portal run-through is up there. Your unboxing of
Thunder and Lightning.
I was going to call it Thor and Loki. Thunder and Lightning.
It is, yeah.
And Mana Surge are both up there.
Yes.
So there's a bunch of stuff up there to watch, go like, rate, subscribe, whatever people ask for. We don't have advertising on the channel, so you're not gonna
nope.
worry about it. Maybe someday you can send us some money.
Yeah.
If we start. It's one of those things, we don't update the channel enough to justify it right now. But ideally in the future we would have a channel that has a lot of videos on it.
It would be, yeah, yeah.
But we shall see how it goes.
Yep. Excellent. Cool. So the only thing left then to do is to thank you once again for downloading our podcast and listening to our drivel. We've been doing this for a long time.
Too long. Some may say.
Yeah.
Not me, of course.
No.
But some, yes.
But it's fun. We still have fun doing it, and we hope you have fun listening to it. So until then, we shall see you next week. So see you later.